Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by Eyewash. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome back to the show. This is a place where we challenge limits, push for greatness, and develop athletes who thrive on and off the field. This show is built around the same principles that drive our program every day: discipline, self-belief, and relentless preparation. Each week we share lessons from the field, stories from high performers, and the mindset it takes to win consistently. Today, we got someone who's been a major part of our program's growth over the past three seasons, Kate Davis, our registered dietitian and the founder of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. She's back for her second appearance on the show. Her first time was back in episode 10, titled, famously, Gummy Bears and Pop. If you haven't heard that one yet, go back and listen to it. It was all about fueling, recovery, and of course, gummy bears. Since then, a lot has changed. Our program has evolved. And so is our partnership with Kate. Today, we're going to talk about her journey, what she's learned, and what she's seen from the inside of the culture we built here. I want to start with a quick story before we get to her. Year one, March of 2022. We're in Mississippi. We are nationally ranked at that point. We're just starting our season. Preseason ranked number 11 in the country, I believe. Preseason rankings, for the most part, aren't well-earned by any stretch. But we're in Mississippi, and we're just getting destroyed by other really great baseball teams. And it's year one for us. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And started looking at these other teams, and they're just stronger. They're just bigger and stronger than us. And I'm looking at our team, and we get back to the hotel room after getting destroyed by a team. And it's our spring season, and I bring them all together in the conference room, and I'm like, we need to get bigger and stronger. And geez, it's most of our year's already gone. You know, we only have a few months left, and I'm pushing them to get bigger and stronger. But thinking about it at a little bit of a deeper level, I'm like, well, we don't even really have a strength and conditioning program. We tell the players, hey, you need to go to Crunch Fitness, or you need to go someplace else, and you should be going, you know, three or four times a week. And there's just really no checks or balances. We're not using in-body machines or even scales. You know, we're just hoping for the best. And then when you start seeing what other teams that take it seriously look like, it was like, holy smokes, we got to catch up really fast. And so somewhere in about June, I reached out to you right before 4th of July, and I'd done quite a bit of research, and you had a web presence, but you also had testimonials, and then somebody had directed me towards you. And I really don't remember who that was, but I remember right around the 4th of July, I reached out to you and said, hey, I think we have a pretty solid program, but we just need some help. And you actually responded. So, Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for having me. So, I also remember that phone conversation.
Okay. All right. Love that. Hard to believe it's been 3 years now.
It is hard to believe.
Kind of goes fast. Let's talk about your journey a little bit. Where'd you grow up at?
So I grew up in Frankenmuth. Many of you might know
Christmas
that town.
Capital.
Christmas town, chicken town, all the things. Loved growing up there, actually. I still love going back there. Grew up there, and then when I was 16, we relocated. So I switched high schools halfway through high school, and that ended up, I think, being a pretty pivotal thing for me in terms of developing myself as a person and my ability to kind of start over from scratch at that age, at that point in time. And then after high school, I decided to attend University of Michigan. And so I went there. And I love to tell this story because when I went to U of M, I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do. Like no idea. I thought maybe I would go into psychology. So I went to U of M and started taking those classes and everything. And one of my, I guess it was an elective, was the biology of human nutrition. Okay. And the professor was not very good, we'll just say. Taught some really odd things about nutrition. But with such a large lecture, we had what's called a recitation. And so it's like a smaller group that you meet with. And that instructor was excellent. And she was at the School of Public Health. And she was a student in the School of Public Health, which was, you know, a master's program. And I got talking to her, and she's the one who introduced me to a registered dietitian, like as a career. I'd never heard of that before. So that was the fall of my sophomore year at University of Michigan. And by Christmas of my sophomore year, I had researched the position or the career. I had connected with the program director at a different university that had a dietetics program. And I had determined I was transferring at the end of my sophomore year. So this was at Christmas. I was going to leave after that final semester. So I ended up transferring to do a dietetics degree. And I went to Michigan State University, which got some really interesting reviews. But anyway, I ended up doing my dietetics degree, graduating from that. Then to become a registered dietitian, you have to do an internship. Went back to the University of Michigan for that because they had an internship through their health system. Did that internship, you know, graduated, took the exam, became an RD.
And you've really gravitated towards the athlete side of it.
I have.
How come?
So once again, when I got my RD, I still wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And so I did what I actually recommend all students do when they first become an RD, and that's to work clinically in a hospital. I tell them all, I hated every day of working clinically, but I learned so much, took in a lot of knowledge. It was set hours. It was predictable. And it gave me time to figure out what I wanted to do next. And the pivotal point in that is I remember one day my boss came in and she said, somebody reached out to us from the local YMCA and they want to talk on nutrition for marathon runners. And our outpatient dietitians don't really want to do it. We know that you're an athlete. Do you want to do this? We'll let you, you know, prepare for it during work time and everything. And I thought, hey, that's great. And it was the first time I had ever really thought about the connection between nutrition and performance, athletic performance. So I did that talk. Long story short, I loved it. And I started diving into that and figuring that out. And so after 2 years working clinically, I left that position and I took an internship at the IMG Academies in Bradenton, Florida. I was there for a summer. And then I returned to Michigan State University to get my master's in essentially sports nutrition. That didn't really exist back then, but essentially that's what it was.
You've been extremely successful, and so I've got a few questions about the business coming up, but you've been extremely successful and you're extremely driven. Where does that come from? Is that something that you learned, or is it something you kind of built?
Maybe both, perhaps both. So I'll say on the learned side, I have a father who has very high standards. I mean, he's a very high achiever. And I think both my parents, of course, my mom was the kinder side of it, you know, the more loving side of it, the gentler side, but both of them had high expectations. We knew, I have three brothers. And so we all knew going through the family, you know, growing up, there were certain expectations. We would all be going, you know, to college and pursuing a career after high school. And for better or for worse, I think that actually was very helpful. It kind of gave me like something to set my sights on.
Direction, yeah.
Exactly. But in terms of, you know, is it learned versus is it what you're born with, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought this up because about 4 years ago, I took the Gallup strength test. Have you ever taken that test? Okay. I had taken other personality tests, sure. You know, but I hadn't taken this one yet. And when those strengths came back, it was like everything in my life that I had done, it just made sense why it went so well, because my strengths are in this order. Number one, I'm a relator. So I enjoy relating to people. I enjoy finding connection with people. Number two, I value individualization. So I enjoy tapping into an individual, figuring out how I can help them or what they're good at or helping them proceed. Number three, I'm an achiever. Right. So I like being busy, but not to just be busy. Like I want to achieve something. And then number fourth, I'm a learner. So I like to, you know, continue to get better and learn new things. And then the last one is context. So it's really important to me to understand the history. So if you remember when I started with your team, one of the things that I'm sure I asked you was, tell me about your team. What's the culture of your team? What have you done? Have you had a dietitian before? What have you done from nutrition? And when I come into talks, usually I'll ask some sort of context question to you before I talk about another topic or a new topic or something. So anyway, so I think all of those strengths, it just kind of made sense. Like, and again, is that something I was born with? Maybe at some level. And I also think our family culture was set in such a way that kind of, you know, pushed me in that direction too.
How have you managed to balance the work life and the family life? Because they're equally important in their own kind of ways. Mm-hmm. If you don't focus on one, you they start going backwards, you know? So how have you learned how to balance that?
Yeah, so I would say this is something I'm still learning. As you know from having kids, every phase you go through with kids, it just introduces something different to the family structure. It introduces, I don't know, like something different that you have to understand about the decisions you make and what this child needs versus that child needs for the different phases that they're in. So it's not something I've done perfectly, but I think there's two main things that I've learned along the way that have helped a lot. And before I get to those, I'll say when I started my business in 2011, right from the get-go, I knew that I had to be very careful with boundaries, meaning setting, you know, days and times, this is when I'm working and this is when I'm not working. Right. And so being really, really dedicated to, if it's a day I'm home with my kids, I'm home with my kids. And even if somebody calls and I know that I should, you know, that maybe I should call them back or feeling that feeling, I'm not going to do it because this is my day with the kids, and staying really focused. So I kind of set that boundary. And that's been very, very tricky. The higher I go, right, as you know, the higher you go, boundaries become very fluid, right? And people want to test those and push those. So that's been something. But two other things I figured out is, number one, you can't have it all. Because I thought when I started High Achiever, right, I was like, oh, I can have it all. I can be the best mom and I can be the best dietitian and I can achieve all the things and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the best wife and the best daughter and all the things. Like, I can have it all. I can do that. Don't tell me I can't. But what I realized is you can't have it all. You can find your balance, as you said, but that balance, even that might change quarterly, yearly, monthly, daily, day to day, right? That balance looks different. And so I had to be open to the idea that I just have to navigate it as it comes. I had to be a little bit more flexible and just figure it out as it comes. But the second thing that I learned, and this is probably the most important thing and the thing that I tell younger dietitians or even just young adults heading into their career. And I'm going to tell a quick story to explain this point. So it would have been January maybe of 2015. I get a phone call. So this year I'm 4 years into my private practice, 6 years into being a sports dietitian. I get a phone call. It's the head athletic trainer for the Chicago White Sox. And he says, we're looking for a sports dietitian. You come highly recommended. I want to talk to you. So I go to the ball field and I meet with him and it's a great conversation. And he's like, this is perfect. This is what we're looking for. I'm going to bring you back. We're going to meet with kind of the next higher up, right? Come in and have that conversation. And it's clear that this guy is just not really totally on board with this. He's like, he's kind of hemming and hawing, just not moving forward. So long story short, that didn't work out. I think honestly, it was just, and I even pushed back and I said, you know, we're really close to the season. Is this something that you're really ready to move forward on? Spring training's about to start. Like, this doesn't seem like great timing. And I think in retrospect, it probably wasn't done there. And so, okay. So fast forward then to what would have been the fall of 2015. Okay. So that was the spring. Fast forward to the fall. I want to say it was November, maybe. I get a call again. Same athletic trainer. And he goes, okay, we've got everything together. We're ready now. We want you to come in. We want to talk contracts. We're ready to go. And what you have to understand is that, you know, probably weeks before that phone call, my husband and I had determined that it was time to relocate from Illinois to Michigan because we were living in Illinois at the time. That's where I built my practice. And we wanted to move home to Michigan. And we had just decided that. And we were going to move in the spring of 2016, right? And this call comes in the fall of 2015. And I get off the phone with the athletic trainer and I'm crushed. And I happen to be in the car with my husband. And I tell him what happened. And he goes, oh, that's too bad. And I said, oh, no. I said, no, I can do this. I said, I can bargain for this out. Okay, so when they're on a homestand, I'll drive back to Chicago and, you know, I can stay with friends and I'll just be there for the length of homestand and then I can work virtually with them when they're traveling and I can organize the things. And so I'm coming up with all these solutions, right? And I stop talking and he looks at me and he goes, are you crazy? I said, you don't want that. Think about it. I said, you really don't want to do that. And it like hit me because I realized, And this is the teaching point. I realized that this was an amazing opportunity. It was a really great opportunity. It was not a great opportunity for me. Not at that time, not in that moment of life, not with our family. And so what I realized is that as my career was going to continue, that more than likely lots of opportunities were going to come my way, but they weren't always going to be a great opportunity for me. And that is okay. And it was okay to say no. It was okay to keep those boundaries. And that was a really hard thing for me. Really hard thing.
It's a great story, but also feeds into, you know, timing is really everything and making sure things are the right fits. And you really have to think about things. I had a athletic director years ago now tell me that he was not speaking to me. He was speaking in general because we were speaking about higher level stuff. And he said, you can't be a great coach and a great father. And that really struck me and has stayed with me. And what he meant by that was, like, you can only really give 100% at whatever it is, you know, and you have to understand, like, if you're giving 100% in your work profession, then some other things are going to have less. But there's always going to be seasons and people that are achievers or that are successful in life. It's kind of seasonal, and it might be a week, it might be a month, and sometimes it's longer, especially if you're building a business. You know, what kind of obstacles did you have to overcome when you started building RDK?
Mm-hmm. So many. So first of all, you know, I think the obvious obstacle is nobody knew who I was, right? So I had to have a lot of gumption, I guess, to get out there and just pound the pavement and, you know, let people know who I was. Social media was a thing, but it wasn't what it is now. And so I had a social media presence, but really the best way for me to get to know people was just to go out there doing, you know, cold calling and emailing and just walking into, I don't know, physical therapy clinics and introducing myself and joining, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and being in a room. You know, at the time I was 27. And so I was in a room with much older individuals who were seasoned veterans at their companies and trying to get to know them and relate to them and make them feel that what I was doing was important enough to, you know, refer me and that sort of thing. So that was a lot. And that took me out of my comfort zone every day, because that's not really something, it might appear that way, but that's not really something that I'm natural at or that I always feel comfortable doing. But I just knew I had to do it if I was passionate about doing this job.
But even moving, you know, you moved from maybe a much bigger place to a much smaller place. As soon as you do that, yes, there's a ton of positive things with it. But when you're speaking about, like, business and people seeing you and knowing you, and, you know, it's harder, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not quiet about the fact that when we moved here, my business took several steps back, 100%. The month that we moved from, we lived in Naperville, Illinois, and the month that we moved from Naperville was still to this day, from an income side, the highest amount of money I'd ever made in a single month. And my husband likes to joke that I actually made more money in a month than he did. And he, you know, he's got a great career. Anyway, so moving here, moving to Michigan, yeah, it felt like starting over again. It felt like I was leaving a lot of opportunities behind, and it was hard for sure.
What about a pinch me moment in your professional life?
A pinch me moment. What does that mean to you?
Something where you're like, wow, this is incredible.
Well, what would it have been? 2024? I received a phone call, and I had been working with USA Paralympics for since 2018. I was working with one of the sports named Goalball. I was working with the men's and women's team out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so I had built a program with them. And because I was a consultant for them, I also would communicate with the director of Paralympic Nutrition as well. And we often would have conversations, organizing things, that sort of thing. And she called me one day and she said, Kate, I want to talk to you about the Paris Paralympics in August. We'd like you to come with us. We'd like to invite you to come to the Paris Paralympics with us. That was absolutely a pinch me moment. You know, one of those things, and I'm sure you have these things too. You have these items on your bucket list, right? And to me, the bucket list, maybe it's because I never will, like, believe I'm the age I am, but I always feel like the bucket list is like, maybe in 10 years, maybe in 20 years, I'll get one of those bucket list items. This was a bucket list item. And it was an item I actually never thought would happen because of the boundaries that I keep between my family life and my career. Right. And sometimes to get to the very top or towards the top or one of the top, you have to make a lot more sacrifice on the family side. And that's not all bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, we all have to figure out what we want to do in that world, right? But for me, I had been very careful with that. So to be asked to go to the Paris Paralympics was just phenomenal. And you talk about timing. My husband and I still reflect that it was the perfect timing for our family. And had I been asked, you know, let's say 4 years earlier, I don't know if I could have done it for that one. You know, it was the perfect timing and absolutely that pinch me moment.
You've been with our program for 3 seasons now. What do you think makes it unique?
So many things. Yeah, you chuckle. I work with a lot of teams, sometimes extensively like yours, meaning that I see them several times. Sometimes it's a one time. So I am highly aware and attentive to teams, and I watch things, and I watch how the coach interacts, and I watch how the athletes listen or don't listen. So I'd say some things about your team, and I would be remiss to say this, and I really, truly mean it. Your commitment to what I do is not only is it unique, but it's, I think it's a huge reason why this program is so successful. I actually just did a talk at a conference last week on how do we create nutrition buy-in. And one of the things I told them is the single most predictor, in my opinion, of whether a team I'm working with will get on board with nutrition and really implement it and see results from it. The single predictor is whether I have support from the coach, because I've seen it on both sides. It's crazy to me that a team will pay me, will bring me in to do a talk, and I get there and the coach barely says hello. The coach barely gives me an introduction, and then he or she is off to the side on their computer working on things or on their phone or just not even paying attention. And you actually think that the athletes aren't watching you. Like that's crazy to me. So I think what's unique about your team and about you is not only, I'd say, the commitment to me, to nutrition, but the fact that you do this leadership training, the fact that it's important to develop not just the player, but the person. I wish that was more common, you know, and maybe it is more than I realize, but I would say that's very unique to your program. And I think it makes a difference. I think the guys see it and I see it in the guys as well. So that's the first thing. But the other thing that I have to point out, and this, again, it's going to sound so minor, but it really makes all the difference, is there's two things that happen every time I come to talk to your team. And I notice it every time I walk in the door to the classroom and you have a table and all the guys have to put their phones on the table. Why is that unique? It shouldn't be. But it is, and it's unique. So they put their phones on the table. And then the second thing that happens every time, right before I start a presentation, do you remember what you say to them every time? You say, guys, lock in. Mm-hmm. And they do. Mm-hmm. Right? Because again, in two words, because you're a man of few words and you don't say anything you don't mean, in two words, you're telling them, you better quiet down and pay attention. They respect you, they listen to you, and they actually do it. And it's so impressive. A team this large, they are truly locked in. They're asking questions, they're interacting, they're paying attention. And it's not perfect every time. They're young men. But Overall, they do a fantastic job. And again, I think it's because you set the pace for the program and the expectation for the team.
I think it's a lot like what you do. Modeling is so important. If you believe in something, you've really got to show the actions behind it. If you want other people to believe in what you're saying, you got to model what's most important. And like you said, if you're in speaking, you can be speaking about the greatest nutritional habits in the world or the one great hack or whatever it might be. But if you don't have people that are in charge supporting that, modeling the buy-in, then they're not going to care. Mm-hmm. It makes such a huge difference, just the nutrition side. And I think what I like most about it is it's not just a short-term, you know, picture. It's not just a microscope that we're looking at. It's, you know, giving them stuff that they can use for their entire life. And They start thinking about things differently, and they start thinking a little different, not only when they go to the grocery store, but when they go through the drive-through line or, you know, just all this stuff. And so it's really impactful. And I think about it even for the stuff like we do with leadership and stuff like that. It's like, you know, some of this stuff is they're going to catch it maybe in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. You know, they might not catch it all right now, but that's part of the journaling too, and hoping that they, you know, take great notes and they can turn back on it. And, you know, that's another thing they do when you walk in. They've got their journals and
they're
taking notes and stuff like that. So got a couple last questions for you. If an athlete could only fix one thing about their nutrition over the next month, just 4 weeks, what would you tell them? What would it be?
The thing that they'll commit to?
Yeah.
Consistency is such a problem when it comes to nutrition, but I think when it comes to maybe a lot of things, turns out humans, we're not really good at like committing to things. You know, our willpower is actually pretty poor. So the reality is that just pick one thing that you can stick to. That's what I want you to do. But if the athlete responds, well, I don't know what to do, then okay. Then there's two things that I think have the most power. Number one is eating breakfast, which to me is defined as eating something within an hour of getting up. We don't go to training fasted. If you have early, you know, training, you got to eat before you go. It doesn't matter where you're going, but I always mention the training piece because a lot of athletes think that maybe I should, you know, be fasted when I go to training. No, never. Please don't do that. So eat breakfast or eat something within an hour of waking up. Or the other thing, if you already do that, you're thinking, nope, got that. The other thing I'd say, eat within an hour of going to your training session. And, you know, especially when we think of high school athletes, is usually after school, right? So eat something 30 to 60 minutes before your afternoon training session, because those two things to me create the biggest immediate impact. And when it comes to athlete buy-in, if they feel it, then I've got the buy-in. You know, if they don't fuel one day and they go to practice and then they you know, fuel the right way the next day prior to practice, and they can say, wow, I felt so much, fill in the blank, so much stronger, so much faster, so much more powerful. My attention was better. I was able to react faster. Suddenly, they're all in because they felt the difference. So those are the two things.
And with high school athletes and multi-sport athletes, and we, you know, we've have a fair share that were multi-sport athletes. I have a daughter that's a multi-sport athlete as well. And when those seasons overlap, and they tend to overlap more today than they did 10 years ago, but when those seasons overlap, that is so hard. That's where I see like the biggest need for nutrition and the mental piece of it and stuff like that, because it's just they're go, 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 go. And they forget about the nutrition piece and sometimes forget about the sleep because they're going so much. They've got to stay up late and study and, you know, just early morning and stuff like that. Does that go back to trying to be consistent with one thing like breakfast, or is it something more when you're a multi-sport athlete and you're in those overlap pieces of your season?
So I think the answer is yes and, right? So I think with athletes who have committed to themselves to doing multiple sports at one time, that commitment comes with greater responsibility. And so one of those things is I really encourage athletes, don't make nutrition an afterthought, because it often is, right? We don't think about eating until we're starving or until we're in a situation where we don't have any food and, oh, whoops, I'm going from this practice. I have 20 minutes to get to that practice. What am I going to eat? So I really encourage them to plan ahead. And I think a big piece with, again, these multi-sport, different schedules, different days, multiple practices, that sort of thing. One thing we do in my practice when we work with athletes one-on-one is actually walking through, and this is something that athletes can do on their own, sit down and look at every single day and actually time in, when are you going to have breakfast? You know, or normally it's after school. So we'll say, you know, when are you going to have your after school snack? When are you going to have dinner? When are you going to be able to eat between practices? What does that look like? If you can't eat between practices, what's something that you can take to consume during practice? This is where sports products shine, right? That's why sports drink was created. That's why we have the gels and the goos and the sport beans and all these different things, right? That's the whole point. It's something that you can tolerate during your training. So again, that's what, you know, I do when I'm meeting with an athlete one-on-one, is actually helping them time out everything and being confident. Because I think the other thing with that makes fueling as an athlete so challenging, if you're not 100% confident in that fueling plan, that causes a lot of anxiety. Anxiety causes intestinal issues, and it causes you to be off mentally because you're distracted about whether you're going to get sick from what you ate or whether it was the right thing to eat. And I have a lot of athletes say, I just prefer not to eat because I feel better when I don't eat, which I think is a bunch of malarkey. But I think the bigger issue they're tapping into is, I don't know what to eat. I don't have the confidence to pick something. And so I just don't want to deal with it. And so I think that's the beauty of having the knowledge of nutrition and what you're giving to your guys and having that education, because so much confidence comes with that. And when we're confident, it's like they go together. That mind-gut connection is so strong, right? If I think I'm going to tolerate something and I think I'm going to feel energized from this, at least partially, that's part of the battle, right? That's a lot of the battle. But if I really don't believe you, or I really am not sure, then it can go the other way.
Thank you for taking the time to come in again today. Thank you for the massive impact that you've made in our program. You've set a new standard for how we fuel and how we recover, and it's very much appreciated. You are incredible at what you do.
Thank you so much, Coach.
That's it for today's episode. If you found value in this one, share it with another athlete, parent, or coach who's chasing growth. Winning fades, habits last. Excellence isn't a destination. It's who you become in the process. Thank you to everyone who continues to listen, share, and support this journey. Lead with intent. Give more than you take. Compete with purpose. We're all playing a game we can't win, so go all in and go Stars. Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at coachcutter.com and more about our team at lccstars.com. See you next time.